Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's July the 31st, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing. He's out of Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. And I'll tell you just a bit about my trip to Ukraine. Hey, and don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Monday edition of your Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. September wheat at 397.5, up 9 cents today. December futures at 416.5, were up 8.5 cents. Elsewhere in the wheat pits, Kansas City September contract at 492.75. Settlement price up 8.75 for the day. Now back in Chicago for the corn. September futures, $2.39. They were 1¾ higher. December futures up 2.5 cents at 256. And the March at 269.75, up 2.5. December contract, 3.5 cents higher at 304. August soybeans, $5.79. They were up 3 for the day. September futures, 585.5, up 1.5. And November beans at $5.99.75 were up 1¾ today. November beans next year, 2007 contract at $6.55, up 3 cents for the day. Bean meal futures, August contract, $1.62.60, down $1.20. August bean oil at $26.72. They were up 33 for the day. From the Mercantile Exchange, August feeder cattle at $114.32.5. They were 17.5 higher. And the August live cattle at $83.72.5 or 37.5 cents higher. October contract at $88.70, up 55 cents for the day. Lean hogs in Chicago's Mercantile Exchange August contract, $68.55. They were down a dime for the day. Outside markets, crude oil, $74.35 a barrel, up $1.11. The CRB at $349.79, up 5.96. And the dollar now at 85.32. That's down 0.06. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,186. They're off about 33 points at this hour for the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd, and welcome back.
Oh, it was a fun trip. I've got one quick story, and then we can get to the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade. But I want to set the tone for a little later on how things went. We arrived in Kiev, which is a city of about 2 million on our first day. We were met by six people. There were five of us from University of Illinois Extension that came in. We were met by six people, and we had 11, let's see, we had 20, so that's 11 people total. We had 20 bags with us. We had some extra baggage along, but we had 20 total bags, and we all piled in to a 1980s VW Vanagon, and we rode 200 miles without air condition, and it took us about 5 hours. So, and a Vanagon's not a full-size van, so that's just kind of the start to the trip, and everything was just the same kind of adventure all the way through. And as I looked at the numbers, just as I quickly came back this afternoon and took a quick look at the numbers, it appears that there was quite an adventure over the last 2 weeks here in the Chicago Board of Trade. Things dropped off pretty dramatically. Tell me about that, and then we'll get into today's marketplace. Okay, Kurt?
Yeah, basically, when you left there, we were in fairly good shape as a whole, but the rains came, and the forecasts were cooperated there short term. And the week you were good, the first week there, we lost over 23 cents, 26 cents in corn and beans both. I think corn followed beans down penny for penny almost, but just wow. The fear or the lack of fear of really real weather threat. The trade at that time was looking at favorable conditions here in the east, talking to some producers, they're saying best corn yield ever potential there. And so that put the market on edge, and we went down to these lower levels. Last week, it was pretty much of a draw, two-sided trade, and held steady. And that continues to be the big debate here on what type of yield we're going to have. Most are dialed in sort of average. Corn producers are comfortable with corn prospects here in the east. The west is continuing to struggle. Beans will be the next issue that sort of so-called drops for say as the trade tries to pencil in a bean yield. We're into August here. August makes or breaks the bean crop for say. This afternoon's conditions report still kind of a mixed bag. Maybe a 1% deterioration for say. We'll see what the observations are. But the big news will be next week's conditions. If we stay warm and do not see some major amount of precip here as we go into the weekend, we could probably see another notch lower in next week's report, Todd.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about Iowa and Nebraska, those areas. I get the feeling, though I haven't been able to confirm this because I really haven't looked at it since I arrived late Saturday evening. I did some jet lag sleeping. That they have been suffering through some pretty serious dry conditions and didn't get the rainfall that fell across the eastern Corn Belt last week. Is that right?
More so in Iowa. Iowa took the big hit on the readings. Before it was Kansas, Nebraska, and Minnesota. But Iowa was the big dog that sort of got hit. Now, you got to remember, these are visual observations, so we'll have to watch this afternoon's report here and sort of see where they are, see if there's some follow-through with that. But it's that northern Iowa, western Iowa, that got hammered pretty good. But since then, though, we've seen some rains in those dry areas, whether it's enough to help it or not, we'll see. Same thing with Minnesota, talking to producers in that Minnesota area. They are actually looking for an improvement as their conditions come out this afternoon with the moisture they've received. So it's a very mixed bag. It's going to be awful hard to average it all out because in those areas you got some real good crops for say, and not too far away you've got some real disaster zones. So we'll still have to hinge on the USDA report this afternoon and the trade will watch that to give them an idea of where we're at.
The drop on all in all at this time of the year, though, has been fairly seasonal at the end of July, the early part of August. It's a little unusual for corn to drop penny for penny with soybeans, but it's not exactly as if this were an unexpected thing to happen here in the Midwest and in the corn market. Is that right?
Well, yeah, you know, we've got to remember, too, we've got two different markets. We've got the futures market, which is going to be sensitive to the weather news and the export news and the funds and what they want to do. Then we've got the cash news. And, you know, the last 2 weeks, too, while you were gone, just a lot of frustration from the producers as they continue to watch these cash bids. You know, we had the board up there at some fairly attractive levels, but leading the cash guys aren't passing on those generous bids. They widen the basis out and make preparation for this old crop coming to town, a new crop to come here fairly shortly.
Oh, so how much wider did the basis go over the last 2 weeks?
Well, you're talking some areas where typically you would be looking at 20-cent basis on corn. We're looking at 40, if not in some case 50-cent spreads basis on corn. The fear is that could get a little wider before it gets better.
No, that's pretty ugly because given what we talked about prior to the time I left, that the 20-cent cash basis might be 8 cents wider now just because of transportation cost anyway, but they're building in another 12 or 13 or 15 cents on top of that. That's that can't bode well for farmers and their bottom line as we head into the harvest season.
And that varies widely or greatly from area to area. I mean, it's just, you can find big fluctuation just a few miles apart, too. So the job of the producers continue to check around at the different locations they can go to and see what type of situation or bid they can get out of those guys.
So let's talk about this lower level. Have you been talking to producers about ways to protect themselves for upside potential, if that might be there yet? I don't know what kinds of things you might have been discussing over the last week and a half with guys.
Well, basically any type of up move in here, if one still needs to move some, we'd still be in that mode to push some inventory out the door or for a contract if one's in a storage situation or a cash flow needs. But no, the goal is now use strength between or weakness between now and first part of harvest to start some replacement processing. You know, if one is brave enough, I would be a buyer of the cash grain. I think the biggest bang for the dollar here is owning cash grain from early harvest into December. I think the basis will come back as these end users come forward here. These feeders are not covered. These ethanol guys are want to get some coverage on. So I think we're going to see a dramatic improvement in the cash side. As far as downside risk, there's some cases where we did have a, you know, if we had the LDP going on and there's going to be some new crop coming on here fairly quickly, there's one day where there was 2 cent corn LDP there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the risk to the downside here is somewhat limited as these LDPs start to kick in. So as a producer, I think you sort of find a home for this and plan on storing it into early, if not late winter.
And then as you look further out, let's talk a little bit about the DEIS-07, DEIS-08 contracts. They're still up above $3. I don't have a chart in front of me, so I can't see how far they've dropped over in the last 2 weeks, but it sure doesn't look like they've followed the rest of the complex down very much.
No, the DEIS-07 got close to that 317 area. We're back down to 304. We've given up 13 cents, but it's probably going to be awful hard for DEIS-07 to go much below $3 here for a while. Due to the fact that there's an awful lot of optimism out there on the demand side of the equation. You know, if demand stays strong in here, if we do not increase acres, you know, corn can be fairly tight in the supply-demand balance sheet. However, though, if corn does continue to stay firm out there and move higher, though, you're going to attract an awful lot of corn acres because producers like to plant corn, and they'll go heavier corn next year unless anhydrous goes back up over $600.
It's always a catch-22. The price is high, and if you plant a lot, you push the price a lot lower. So we'll see how things go. Tell me about the Mercantile Exchange. I made note that last week, I think it was either Thursday or Friday, Japan said they were going to open up the market to cattle 20 months and younger.
Yeah, that's some weighted news or confirmation. It's been in the workings for some time, but the probably the biggest factor here this week is we're looking at the weather with the hot temperatures throughout the Midwest in
mm-hmm.
here. Fears are that we're losing our demand as cookout featuring sort of goes to the back burner here, for say, due to the weather. Also, too, we're in a situation seasonally it's awful hard to get something going in the cattle complex. Cattle and feed report was a shocker. We saw a lot of numbers compared to what the trade was looking for, but out west there, if the dry conditions they got, we've got a lot of cattle going to feedlot. Hogs a little bit different here. With the hot weather, we're slowing down the runs, and weight gains on hogs are probably going to be slower to come by. But if this weather does break by the end of the week, they are expecting for a fairly big pickup in the movement of hogs as we go into the weekend.
Yeah, go back. Do you have the numbers for the cattle on feed report? And then did that come out Friday? I'm just haven't caught up with all those things at this point, so that maybe you can catch me up just a bit, and I'll be better able to ask a couple more questions along the way. But you say it's a shocker on the cattle on feed report, so I take it that the on feed numbers were up dramatically. Is that right?
On feed was 104%, but the placements was 110. The trade was not prepared for that big of a number. The placements was more like a 98% being placed. Marketing's was 106, and that's about what they saw. But that placement number was probably about the biggest off number we've seen in a long time.
And at 110, and that came out what day, Friday or Thursday last week? Or
the 21st.
Oh, yeah, a week and a half ago. So it's been building at the marketplace for quite some time. Anything else that we need to cover before I let you go?
Well, the big thing will be this afternoon's crop conditions report.
Yeah.
That's where sets the stage for this evening's trade here. That's going to be the main marker here as they take those conditions and sort of incorporate that into their formulas to sort of get a yield prospect number to work with.
We appreciate you being with us.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Grain Field Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Monday afternoons. Just a little bit about my trip to Ukraine, and then we'll catch up on the news and the weather. And a bit later in the program, of course, we'll talk with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County about the cash grain market. So we arrived, and I told you about our trip across a portion of Ukraine. It's about the size of Texas. We made a trip from Kiev east and a bit south to a place called Poltava. Poltava is a city of, I think, about 300,000, but I was told if you were in the suburbs, you could walk in 20 minutes. So I assume that's not very – the footprint, if you take a look at the satellite, is really not very big. So 20 minutes would put you at about a mile if you have a pretty normal pace. And everything goes straight up. A couple of things that were kind of funny that happened. We were traveling from Poltava back to Kiev, and we had a caravan of three vehicles, two sedans, and that VW van. Again, every time that thing showed up, it was fun. The VW van had quite a bit of our luggage in it, and the two sedans we were traveling in. The guys that were in the VW van really wanted to get to Kiev, and Dave Seibert, who's an animal scientist, and I happened to be in that van early on. Just as we pulled out in the morning, there was a fork in the road. The right side went to Kiev. The left went south and into farm country, which was where we were headed. The lead car went that way. Dave and I saw it, and the driver said, "No, I'm going to Kiev." And so we watched the guy who knew where we were going to go to the left, and we went to right, and Dave and I were yelling for these guys to stop, and we didn't have a translator in the van, and the guy driving really didn't want to turn around, but we finally convinced him. He stayed with us for a while that day, and then pretty soon they decided they were not going to stick around with us. So we watched him pull out and go to Kiev, which is a city of about 2 million. He had all our clothes with him and computers and a couple of other things, and he just left. And you're thinking, well, is the rest of this stuff going to show up? And about 6 hours later, we arrive in Kiev and get to our apartment. And then as we'd been in maybe half an hour, and the van shows up. And the van showed up with all of our stuff plus a load of rabbits. And those rabbits they picked up rabbits, and they were going back to the Poltava State Agrarian Academy, I suppose. But it's kind of funny just that, you know, you watch all of your stuff disappearing. You never know what's going to happen to it. And I don't know where they picked the rabbits up, but that's another story. A couple of other things to make note of. Western influence is definitely in Ukraine in terms of agriculture. We went by both Northrop King and Pioneer demonstration plots. Emerson Napsiger, agronomist here who was not on that trip, had been in Ukraine early in July, said he was actually at a Syngenta demo day. There is large equipment there that's operating in the field. Saw a lot of New Holland combines, and I saw one brand new one like you might pick up off the lots here. It was on a truck traveling on the roads and being shipped somewhere. Some of the other New Hollands were still pretty recent ones. At some point in the past, the Ukrainian government had purchased, I think, 1,000 John Deere harvesters. I didn't see any John Deeres running in the field, but there was an awful lot of old equipment, too. We had met one farmer who had about 2,000 acres of wheat. This guy had a 32-year-old combine, had a 12-foot platform on it. It's called a Don. I think that's what it was anyway, but I'm not sure that that's actually the name of this machine. And he was running it about 15 to 18 hours a day. I asked him if he had trouble getting parts for it. He said no. He was harvesting all 2,000 acres with a 12-foot platform on this wheat. He had 24 employees, so I suppose he had the labor to make it happen, but it's a strange land. Parts of it are like stepping way back in time. We saw lots of horse-drawn carts. We were at a dairy farm where the parlor and the dairy barn were the same, and they had a horse-drawn cart pulling through and dropping feed off to those dairy cattle. We were on a beef cattle farm, actually, out with the beef cattle in the pasture, and Dave Seibert, who's the animal scientist that was with us from the Peoria Extension Center, was asking them why they'd let the weeds grow up in the pasture. And the reason was pretty simple, and this is one of the things the capitalism, I suppose, works and has been working there, but one of the reasons the weeds were not mowed down and they hadn't been taken care of the pasture because nobody owned that particular plot of land, and he was fearful that he improved it, that he wouldn't have access to it anymore for his cattle. So things are really unique and different, and over the next couple of weeks, we'll tell you more about it and trying to get you some information. I'll put in our weekend newsletter a link to a website that I have yet to create with all kinds of photos. I took about 1,000 photos while I was there, some video. And we'll tell the story just a bit of the Ukrainian people and agriculture, the collapse of the collective farm system. Those things were about 20,000 in size. And it's just a different sort of place. And there's a wide disparity between the haves and the have-nots. Kiev definitely has. The rest of that nation definitely does not have. So we'll talk about that as we go over the next couple of weeks. And I'll try to make sure that we talk more about what's been happening in Ukraine.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606. Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
Brian Stark from the Andersons right here in Champaign County now joins us to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Brian.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Things have been pretty ugly in the cash grain market while I've been out of the country, I hear. Tell me about it a bit, please.
Well, I think you've seen some consolidation from the basis narrowing a little bit in the old crop and widening in the new crop, anticipation of a fairly decent size crop locally, space being at a premium, so we've seen a convergence there. No real big incentive. Crop progress has looked okay for the most part in the eastern Corn Belt in the traders' minds right now. Any shortfall in the western part of the Corn Belt is going to be covered up by the good yields we see to the east.
And then as you take a look at basis, how much of a tumble we had over the last 2 weeks?
Oh, I would say probably a nickel in the new crop side. Old crop hasn't really changed that much. Maybe a little bit of a narrowing, trying to encourage some of the old stocks to move prior to harvest. But I think the biggest basis move has been in the new crop.
What have you guys been saying about prices at harvest time?
Prices at harvest time probably are going to be close to loan rate or maybe a little bit below. Anticipation is we may see a little bit of an LDP in corn this year. I don't think it's going to be as big as 40 cents area like we saw last year, but we may get a 20 cent, maybe half of what we saw last year, capability of seeing that this year.
You expect basis to continue to be wide? We've talked about at times an 8 or 9 cents extra added onto the basis simply for, well, maybe we can refer to it as an energy tax, so rather than 20 under, 28 under or something like that. So I suppose that you could pick up part of that out of the LDP?
Yeah, I would suspect so, because at this point, unless we see some type of major weather event to disrupt transportation like we saw last year with Katrina, I don't anticipate the basis getting much wider than what it's at, but it's mainly there because of just the log jam of old stocks and in the space. There's a big carry in wheat, there's a big carry in corn, a big carry in beans. There's not enough space to carry everything.
Now, how bad is the Western Corn Belt, do you think, at this point?
At this point, I think they're probably average. I think, you know, the eastern part of Iowa, you go west of the Mississippi, there's parts of Minnesota, parts of Nebraska that are okay. I think there's parts that are unknown that have sustained some damage as far as progress goes, but I think right now we're at an okay crop, probably a trend line yield crop. In the traders' minds, any damage we have seen will be covered up by just how good the eastern Corn Belt has looked.
So, and Brian, your bids for the day?
We're 223 cash corn, fall 226, 565 cash beans, and 570 fall.
We appreciate it much.
Thanks, Todd.
Brian Stark is with the Andersons, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. At least somebody from that office does each and every Monday afternoon. In just about 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather with the folks from the Chicago office of Chesapeake Energy. Up next, your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Temperatures are soaring into the 90s in Illinois and Indiana. National Weather Service meteorologist Heather Stanley says new record highs could be set in Springfield and Peoria. In Chicago, hundreds of people are taking advantage of cooling centers operated by city departments. In East Central Illinois, there's a cooling center in Champaign at 801 North Walnut in Danville. North Walnut in Champaign, in Danville at 220 South Bowman, in Tuscola at 207 East Ficklin, and Monticello at 4012 Bear Lane. Chicago-based Exelon says preliminary findings of an environmental study show no new tritium leaks at its 11 nuclear plants in Illinois, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. The study was launched after officials learned of leaks at Exelon's Braidwood plant in Illinois. Those leaks created slightly elevated levels of potentially cancer-causing tritium in drinking wells, drinking water wells, that is, near the plant. A 23-year-old Monticello man died after he was struck by a train overnight at Ivesdale. According to the Champaign County coroner, Joseph McConkie died of multiple traumatic injuries after he was hit at a train crossing. The death is being investigated as a suicide. University of Illinois students return to campus in a few days, and City of Champaign officials are preparing for the trash that can accumulate during the move-in process. Susan Saltzman of the Neighborhood Services Department says their crews will monitor about 70 blocks in the campus town area, looking for excess garbage and debris outside apartment buildings and other campus residences. She says students and property owners have done well in complying with the rules during recent move-in and move-out periods. Owners who leave trash on their properties will receive notices giving them 24 to 48 hours to clean things up. After that, the city will do the cleaning and the owner will get the bill. Today's the last day you can legally smoke in an Urbana restaurant. Urbana is banning smoking in restaurants effective tomorrow. A ban on smoking in bars in Urbana will not begin until January 1st. And Champaign's bar and restaurant smoking ban doesn't take effect until a month after that. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, now on the line to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start out. We have a couple of things we probably ought to cover. An excessive heat warning for the city of Chicago, where you are, until 8 o'clock Tuesday evening, in effect now. An excessive heat warning for southwestern Illinois until 7 o'clock Wednesday evening. And a heat advisory in for the rest of Illinois and Indiana until 7 o'clock on Tuesday evening. It's just plain hot, and it doesn't look like we're going to get any relief soon.
Yeah, Todd, this current heat wave that we're seeing will continue here across the Midwest for another 3 to 4 days. The far northern areas, such as Minnesota and the eastern portion of the Dakotas, will begin to cool down on Wednesday, but really here across the central and southern sections of the Midwest, we really don't cool down. Well, Friday is really the first day, so that is the next time that we'll get some relief here. As far as rainfall chances are concerned, they are going to at least begin here starting tomorrow night across some of the northwestern sections of the Corn Belt, and that'll continue then through Wednesday on into early Thursday. At least our coverage of the western Midwest, that's areas west of the Mississippi River, receiving amounts over 0.3 inches, we expect around 50% coverage. And then for areas east of the Mississippi River, we expect 70-75% coverage. And that's not only with rains here in the middle of next week, but it looks like another opportunity here coming up Sunday, Monday, and this week. So, you know, not widespread rains everywhere, but some rains around at least after we get out of this heat after the next 3 to 4 days.
Should help alleviate some of the damage that can be done when excessive heat is in motion across the Midwest, especially for the corn crop.
Yeah, and, you know, we've seen numerous days here, especially the western Midwest, with high temperatures in excess of 95 degrees, and you know, certainly we've had some yield loss here for corn, but now we're starting to possibly see the effects of that on soybeans, although that is very debatable and still very early at this time, but we are seeing pod development here, and with the heat, certainly it's beginning to impact things, And obviously, weather is very sensitive, as it always is at this time of year.
Anything else before I let you go for the day?
Midwest is really the hot spot, no pun intended here, as the rest of the world is pretty quiet.
Thanks much. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Monday afternoons. And that is today's report. Remember to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our pre-opening market report. And that you can hear today's futures analysis, the cash grain reports, the weather right there on the web. Just go to WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon. Thank you.